be glad in this day. I thank you, Lord, that by your power you give me wisdom to speak only what you would have me to say. Let your word come forth as revelation knowledge to every person that is hungry for your word today. Lord, as you grant us revelation, thank you would also give us wisdom to use your word and to move with you in everything that we do. And we thank you, Lord, that more than anything else, you will show up when we stand on your word. We thank you for these things. Lord, let me impart to them what you've taught me. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask, I think got a little hot monitor on me here. So we bring that down a little bit. We'll be going to go. Would you open your Bibles? Let's go real quickly. We're going to cover a couple of foundation scriptures, and then we're going to move into the next thing here. So if you would go to the book of... Actually, you don't have to turn there. We'll go there, and we'll read these couple of things real quickly to you, and then I'll have you turn to something in a minute. We're going to begin in the book of... I'm going to slow down. Listen to the Lord. We're going to begin in the book of Mark, chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. Just listen to this. We're going to go to two passages real quick and get you going. Mark, chapter 11, verse 23. And it says this. Mark 11, 23. I'm going to get there in just a moment, y'all. Here we go. Praise the Lord. I'm caught up in worship. Amen. Mark 11, 23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." Amen? Amen. Now we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to read verses 6 through 17. Listen close to this. "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says this, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." All right, these two passages we just read are foundations for what I'm going to talk about today. And the title of the message is, Go with the Anointing. Go with the Anointing. See, the first passage we read is talking about the reality of faith. The faith, as we know in the book of Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you cannot see. Faith is our foundation. It is what empowers us to do things. You cannot have an anointing if you do not have faith. See, an anointing is our understanding that the Holy Spirit has been given to us for a purpose. But those that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's what Hebrews 11 and 6 says. In order to have an anointing, you have to first establish faith. Faith does not work unless faith's foundation is love. So many times the reason why there has not been the power of God that we want to see is because we've tried to build faith without building love. And we've tried to have faith in silence and not recognize your faith is only shown by what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So the words that come out of our mouth are a reflection of what is in our heart. And what is in our heart has to be the foundation of faith. And the only way to have faith is to have love be the foundation of it. So when we're talking about going into all the world, I never want anybody to go into all the world out of an obligation. Because that's why the church has not been effective, because the church has prodded and beat people and told people, you go outside, you witness to people, bring people to this church, you beat them down, and what do? They go out and they try to coerce people to come to church, and they don't want to come. Why? Because I don't want you leading me nowhere. If you beat me, I will not follow you. Lou, if I beat you, are you going to follow me? No, you can't do that, right? Nobody wants to be beat into anything. Nobody wants to be bullied into anything. The only way faith really works is when faith is founded in love. And what do we know? We know that first, you can't effectively love till you love God first. You have to become a worshiper in order to then become a witness. See, the disciples spent 3.5 years being taught by Jesus, educated by Jesus, guided by Jesus, told by Jesus, moved by Jesus. And after 3.5 years, they still didn't understand. And what did he tell them? When in John chapter 17, he's talking to them. He's giving them understanding. 15. He's talking to them and he says, no greater love has anyone than this, that a man's going to lay down his life for his friends. I call you friends. Why? Because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I'm telling you everything. It took them 3.5 years to get to the point for him to tell them, I'm going to show you love. And when the love comes, your faith is going to increase. It wasn't until they saw the absolute manifestation of love that their faith actually increased. Jesus dies on the cross. They're sad. They're crying. They go and hide because they think something's coming next. That if they kill Jesus, they're going to kill us too. Jesus denies Peter in the presence of people. Peter denies Jesus. Let me change that around. You're a Galilean. I can tell by your voice. No, I don't know Jesus. And cursed. Why? He's protecting himself because he's still focused on himself. And because he's focused on himself, he denies Jesus because it's better for me to protect myself because he doesn't understand yet. 3 days later, when they're hiding, Jesus is risen from the dead. When they see Jesus, and then he talks to them and he ascends into heaven. All of a sudden they go to the upper room to pray and they come out with a supernatural boldness. Why? Because now the love of God has been set abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has now set and taken root in there, and the gift of the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit is given to you in order for you to love. The power of the Holy Spirit is not shouting and dancing. The power of the Holy Spirit is to supernaturally love like Jesus loved. go in the anointing, not just gifts and talents. Go in a supernatural anointing of love. Because if you walk in love, you will destroy every work of the devil. I'm not talking about human love. I'm talking about if you can walk in the supernatural love of God, you will absolutely destroy everything that the devil brings against you. John chapter 20, Jesus is risen from the dead. He's talking to his disciples. He said, blows on them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. The first thing he tells them, the very first thing he tells them, you have the power to forgive. You can't forgive without love. The first thing he says, let's go to John 20, verse 20. Come on, Holy Ghost. Here we go. Verse 20 through 23. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I don't want you breathing on me. I want Jesus breathing on me. Praise the Lord. I was getting too serious on y'all. Here we go. All right. John 20, verse 20. Here we go. Now, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send who? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. Now, what does that mean? It means you have the power to forgive. Means they, what changed? What changed was them receiving the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, if you really allow the Holy Spirit to saturate your life, the first fruit you should receive is the fruit of forgiveness. The very first fruit that should come out of us is the fruit of forgiveness. Why? Because if you understand that God has forgiven you, then you ought to be able to forgive somebody else. I recognize that before I gave my life to the Lord, I denied that God existed. I said, God does not exist. He cannot exist. So you know what? I can get mad, but I don't hold it long. You know why? I realized God forgave me. And guess what? I find that when I think about it, it's not hard. It's hard when I'm looking at me and thinking about my offense, what happened to me, what did. When I'm looking at that, then it's hard. When I look at him, it's easy. When you look at a cross, a man hanging on a cross and said, for you, I will die. I will lay down my life for you. Now, you go do the same. How hard is it to forgive when we look and we see that God has died for us? That Christ has given his life for us. I'm not saying you don't get mad. You step on my foot, I'm going to be mad. But I can forgive. The word says it, be angry, but don't sin. It's okay to get mad about stuff. It's okay to get passionate about stuff. It's okay to argue about stuff. But let it go. The only way to let it go is to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. The love of God, Romans 5 says this, it said the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It was given as a gift, given as a gift. Jesus on the cross, what does he do? He says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. All the Jews crucified Jesus, and Peter said, he said, you crucified him because you didn't understand. See, the word We have to interpret the word on what it says and get rid of all the religion and all the humanism that we've attached to it. We've attached all this human stuff that exalts one person above another, when the fact of the matter is everybody's going to stand before God on the same plane. We're all going to stand and face God ourselves. And when we are in the blood, then he will say, come, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. When we're standing on our own and we're standing in our own pride and our own humanity, he's going to say, get away from me. I don't even know you. Because this is not about human. This is about the Spirit. The Spirit of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. You cannot go to the world. You cannot go to the world. You cannot enter in. You cannot bless other people unless love is the actual thing you are going to deliver. Because that is the character of God. 1 John chapter 4. What does it say? It says, God is love. But most of us got to redefine what love is, because we've been taught the world love. We don't know what God's love is. What is God's love? It is a characteristic and not activities. It is not just actions. It's a characteristic of love. It's a characteristic that is manifested so that when people are in your presence, they sense it. People sense characteristics. People feel your characteristics of who you are. They experience it. How do they experience it? They experience it because it is who you are. When we live in a new way, we're inviting the Spirit to be our foundation. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to be our cornerstone. Then our faith will go to another level. Because faith, Galatians chapter 4, faith works by love. Now, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. Now, we started with Mark chapter 11 that says that if you will speak to this mountain, if you will speak to something. But remember, you have to speak out of love. You have to speak from the power. The power is in the love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the embodiment of what you're going to say. But look at this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of what? With the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Very key. Since we have the same spirit of faith, I believed and therefore I spoke. What comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. What comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our heart. So the key is, we need love in the heart. We need love to abound in our hearts, because that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Love to be shed abroad in our heart. So that when we are attacked, or when we are misused, or when we are manipulated, or whatever the case may be, for a human being, that our response is a response of love. Now, what love is not? Love is not just when people do you wrong that you just lay down. Love is, I will speak the truth in love. I will tell you the truth. I will not be pushed to misuse you back, but I will be able to, as Jesus says, turn the other cheek to you. Now, what do we think that? Somebody do this, you're supposed to let them just do it again. No, that doesn't just mean that. Turning the other cheek means that I'm not going to hold on to what you did on this side. I'm going to make myself vulnerable enough to open my other side up to you. I'm not going to close off from you. I will block. I'll pull the wax off on you. I will block it. But I don't have to attack back because why? Because I understand it's not you. It's the Spirit trying to drive you. So I can walk in the forgiveness of God. Why? Because I have an anointing of the Holy Spirit to operate in a forgiving manner, to say, I'm not going to strike back, but I am going to tell you the truth. Why? I believe, therefore, I'm going to speak. What am I going to speak? I'm going to speak to you the goodness of God. I'm going to speak to you that God wants to set you free, that if you are so angry at me right now for no good reason, I'm speaking God can take that anger out of your soul. I believe. Why? Because I love you and I believe the best about you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I'm not going to dilly-dally with all that part that everybody else want to go to. I'm going to take you down to the nitty-gritty up in here. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Listen to this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not, what? Oh, wait. It does not, what? Wait, what does that say? That must be Greek or Hebrew or something, right? It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Uh-oh. What's that last one say? I want all y'all to say. What does it say? It thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. I started making that hard. I said, that's hard, man. I started confessing that it was hard. I started saying, man, that's hard. Ooh, hard to think no evil about somebody. I start saying it out of my mouth. Ooh, that's hard. Ooh, man, that's all I can tell. All this other stuff, but I can. Ooh, thinking no evil. That's. And you know what? I believed, and therefore I spoke. See, that's what 2 Corinthians said. What you believe in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. So if you believe that it's hard to think no evil, it's because that's what's in your heart. But the question is not whether it's valid because it's in your heart. The question is that what comes from God, or is that what comes from you and your personal experience? See, the reason it's hard is because my personal experience is that I have a lot of thoughts. And I'm thoughts is like a, it's like a, I have thoughts like a garden of weeds sometimes. They're going all directions and I didn't plant them. They're just in there. They're coming up on their own. And if I don't pay attention, they just take over everything. But your mind is like a garden. And what should not be there needs to get weeded out. And you have the power to weed it out. Why? Because you have the power of love. You have the power of the Spirit to walk in love, which means you have the power to weed out anything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Keep your finger right there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. Thank you. No, hold on. What a minute. 10 and 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. There we go. I'll fix it around one kind of way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. They said, slow down. Is that what it said? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down what? Casting down arguments, imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are things that want to exalt themselves above God's knowledge that you have of God. What do I know about God? God is love. But there are things that want to exalt themselves above that knowledge. Now, give you an example that we're all familiar with. We know that we all love, if you love music, raise your hand. If you like to sing, raise your hand. And I asked, can you sing? I said, do you like to sing? All right. Now, we all know that majority of people love music, and the majority of us love the feeling that we have when we sing, right? Majority of us, right? Now, we know that. But if you say, matter of fact, I love to sing so much, I'm recording an album. That's my knowledge. I sing great. I'm recording an album. Okay. Somebody hears you sing and says, no. So you have a knowledge here. I know I love to sing. I know that. Now their knowledge comes in here. Now, what is going to be the deciding factor in whether I'm going to proceed to record my album or not? Whose report do I believe? Do I have what I believe? Does it get does what somebody else says get exalted above that knowledge? See, that's what's happening to us. We know the word and we say, I love God and I'm worshiping God. But and I think God is doing great things in my life. And we're building up. We're strong. And then something happens and somebody says, God ain't real. It's going to try to exalt itself above the knowledge. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in God to cast down that stronghold so that when anything tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, we say, no, it's not. I'm cutting this album. Amen. All right. Some of y'all got it, some of y'all didn't. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God. We've been given weapons to cast down strongholds. Now, there's a personal stronghold that every person has to battle. And I don't know what yours is, but everybody has at least some kind of stronghold, something you have to battle. And the enemy will come back consistently and keep trying to exalt himself above the knowledge of God. And every time you start to do something you believe God's called you to do, here comes that thing to come exalt itself above the knowledge of God. And every time you feel like you're making progress, here comes that thing again. It's going to try to exalt itself in knowledge of God. It's always going to try to persuade you, always going to try to depress you. It's always going to try to suppress you. It's always going to try to do something to stop you. Because we're in a warfare. But the answer is always this. You have to say out of your mouth what God has told you in your heart. And you have to start speaking it out. Because if you don't start saying it, it will not come to pass. Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And if something hasn't gotten strong enough in your heart, it has to be reinforced. It has to be supported. How does it get supported? It gets supported by the word. So Jesus, before he's crucified, his ministry is just beginning, and he goes out driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness right after he's baptized. He goes out and he has a one-on-one with the devil. He overcomes the devil. Angels come and minister to him. And then he goes into the synagogue one day. And he picks up a scroll and he reads something about himself. Now, he had a victory before, but that victory is not the end. You still got to go somewhere else. There's somewhere else you got to go. If you got victory once, that's not the end of it. You're going to have another battle you're going to have to go to. You're going to have something else you're going to have to face. So what does he do? How does he begin it? He begins by saying what the word says about himself. Jesus just had a great victory, but he still has to come back and say, what does God say about me? And this is what he said God says about him. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen to this. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. So he, out of nowhere, he just declares this word. And then they're all looking at him, see what's next. And I want you to see this. Verse 21. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What I want to, I don't want to get caught up in the anointing portion. I want you to look at what he just said. Jesus had to activate his faith through confession of the word. He quoted something from the book of Isaiah. He quoted something about himself. He said something about himself. And then he said, because I said it, it's fulfilled in your hearing. You have to know what God's word says about you. And then you have to say what God's word says about you. I shared with you guys last week. I told part of it anyway. When God gave me the vision for this church, I immediately assumed it was for my former church. So I went to go meet with my pastor about it. I was going to tell him about it. And the meeting didn't occur. The meeting happened, but the meeting went sideways. And I couldn't talk to him about it. So I said, well, I don't know what it is. And why? Because in my heart, I know something about myself. I know I have a calling. In my mind, I'm not trying to do that. So I wrote it down. I stuck it in the drawer. I'm not going to say it. I refuse to say it out of my mouth. And so I know it. But I ain't going to say it. Because why? Because I know once I start saying it, so I wouldn't say it. I plugged it up. I ain't saying it. I said in my mind, I'm not saying this aloud, not one time. I'm not going to say it. I refuse to say it. I'm not going to say it. See, some of you guys have callings on your life. You know it's in there, but you won't say it. You won't say it. You know why you won't say it? Because you know once you say it, everybody's going to look at you different. And you know why they're going to look at you different? Because down inside, we all know what you say, you're really trying to do. So there's some people who refuse to say what God has given them. They hold it back. They won't say it out loud. Why? Because people are going to look at me different. I'm going to have to do this. Man, no way. But Jesus recognized and he spoke it out. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's given me an anointing to preach good news to the poor. Gospel, I'm taking good news to poor folks. I'm breaking chains. I'm bringing healing. I'm delivering people. I'm setting captives free. He had to say it out of his mouth. If Jesus had to say it out of his mouth, you know you got to say it out of yours. So what has God said about the anointing that's on your life? Hmm. Most of us have to begin with the confession that you're a new creation. That in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then we have to start confessing. As it said, I don't have to go up. I don't have to go down. I'm going to declare the word of faith that's in my mouth. The word of faith. What's the word of faith? The word of faith is whatever God has put in your heart, because God has given to each person a measure of faith. There's a measure of faith already in you. You don't have to get more faith. So what did Jesus say? He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, move. Why? Because that's the power that's in you. See, we're judging the power that's in us based on our circumstances, based on our existing relationships, based on our situations. We're judging the power of God based on that, when the power of God is only measured by his word and what we say. So when we say we're going into all the world to preach the good news to all people, is our confession that, oh, you know, I'm not no evangelist, pastor. That's not me. But we're saying that we're going to go into our workplace and we're going to shine like lights in a dark place. We say, yeah, well, pastor, you know, I got this thing I'm still dealing with here, you know. Well, you know, I got my background as, you know, I want people knowing my business and stuff, you know. See, all those are confessions of things that are not from what God has got for you. Your confession needs to start being, I thank God he's made me a fisher of men. I thank you, God, that you've given me the wisdom. Christ has been made unto me wisdom and righteousness. I thank you, I'm a righteous person. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness has crowned me. I thank you, Lord, and you need to start making those declarations. But you can't make those declarations until you start getting it in your heart. Getting it in your heart. Getting it in your heart. Getting it down in your spirit. Because when it's in your spirit, you will step forward bolder than ever. Stronger than ever. Look at verse 21. Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What do I see? I see kings and queens in Christ. I see everybody in this room with God's royal hand on you. I see everybody in this room filled with the Spirit of God. Able to forgive, able to walk in an anointing, able to walk into any room and have people see the power of God on your life. I see people who can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I see people who are able to cast down every imagination in their life. I see people who do not allow their past to overtake them, because they cast down every imagination that tries exalt itself over the knowledge of God. So when I'm looking into all of you here, that's what God has given you. God has given you the power to rise. The power to do new things. Things you didn't think about. Things that only are being held because the imagination that God has placed in you, the enemy's trying to put things above it. I went to college. Okay, I'm going to close with this. I went to college, graduated from high school. I went to college. Said that three times, but here we go. My first semester, I had a 4.0 GPA. My second semester, it was quarter system, so a second quarter. Second quarter, 3.8. I graduated from high school with a 2.1. Well, there's hope for all of us. I'm tearing college up. My third quarter, I discovered the veranda. And it went down. It went downhill from there. I should have stayed on the other side of the campus. So I left there. I went to the Marine Corps. I'm going to the Marine Corps. I went to the Marine Corps. Go through that process. Go through various things. But what I discovered about myself is that every time I got to certain position, there's a voice. There's a voice. And when the voice would come, the voice would persuade me that I've hit the cap. You're not supposed to be here. You don't belong here. This ain't you. It would come persuade me I wasn't supposed to advance or to move forward. It would come to me and it would begin to give me all kinds of excuses. Here's an open door here. You can back away this way. You can do this. It would start presenting me with all these opportunities to do everything except excel. And then what happened to me is that through a course of events, I gave my life to the Lord. And after I gave my life to the Lord, I began understanding spiritual warfare. And I began understanding that everything in the natural world is not all that there is. And I began to realize that there are really spirits out there. Don't be afraid of them. Don't let Hollywood define what a spirit is. Don't be afraid of them. But there's spiritual influences in the world. And those spiritual influences, as we talked about during prayer this morning, when you give your life to the Lord makes a shield around you. But those influences, because they can't get to you, they have to fire fiery darts into your camp to try to impact your mind. And when they impact your mind, what do? They begin to tear you down. They start to try to create strongholds around the things that are your strengths, because they need you not to be able to work in your strength. They need you to be able to dwell in your weaknesses. They need you to dwell. They need you to pull you down so that you are focused on your problems and your issues and the things that have harmed you and the things that have wronged you and the things that all the lowest common denominators, rather than the fact that I am a child of the living God, that the hands that form the stars are the hands that form me. Look at all this. That was formed like the stars were. You were formed like the stars were. Never let your impression of yourself be gauged by what the world system says, because it's designed to tear you down and not to build you up. It's designed to get you to chase images that have nothing to do with who you are. So you have to be able to use what we just talked about. Cast down every imagination. Cast down everything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God in your life. Cast down everything that tries to come over you. Cast down everything that says that it's hard to love. Cast down everything that says it's hard. It's going to be hard for you to achieve what God has for you to do. It's going to be hard for you to break through. No, it's not going to be hard. It's going to be hard as long as you're listening to the devil. When you start hearing God's word, you're going to face challenges, face giants, but you're not going to be afraid of giants. It's giants out there. Yes, absolutely. It's all kinds of big things out there, all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. They're out there and they're real, except I'm bigger than them. Not because of me, but because of Christ in me. What overcomes the world? It's our faith. Our faith is what overcomes everything. Our faith overcomes every obstacle. Our faith overcomes every single thing that comes against us. So Jesus, Son of God, stripped of all of his godly attributes, comes as a human being, allows himself to be filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, goes out, faces temptation, and then comes and says, now let me start saying, let me start speaking who I am. Let me start declaring, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. So I want you to say out of your own mouth, if you love God, I want you to say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me.
Yes. He's on you. He's on you, and he's anointed you. Now, how can you go unless you be sent? Go. Go in this anointing that you have. Go in what God has given you. Go with what God has. Don't try to wait for something else to come. What do I have right now, and how can I go with what I have right now? Who can I tell? Who can I share my testimony? Who can I share how God has done for me? Who can I share that with? Who can I bless? Who can I love on? Who can I snatch out of darkness? Who can I do something to? Who can I bless right now? Who can I do anything? How can I just show God's love? The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Every time I get mad, I start confessing. I said, the love of God is shed in my heart. I got no hatred in me. I got no anger in me. It's cast out. I cast down every imagination. I refuse. I won't. And if it does come, I won't sin. Even if I get mad, I ain't going to sin. I refuse. I won't. Why? Because this word says it. I am who God says I am. You are who God says you are. You don't need outside validation from anybody but God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on your feet. Go with the anointing. Go with the anointing of God. Father, we thank you. We bless the name of the Lord. We give you the praise and the glory. We thank you for your word. We ask that today, the word that we've declared, Lord, that it would stir the hearts of everyone here. Lord, let the word follow us. Lord, let us go in this anointing. Let us go in this power of God, fueled by your love. We thank you. Thank you. And give you the honor and the praise for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.